my honor to come to the floor to speak on an issue that is important to so many Americans. Let me start at the outset before I move, have unanimous consent on a specific piece of legislation, to say that I believe that the change in the Affordable Care Act, which prohibited discrimination against people because of pre-existing conditions, is one of the most fundamental changes in health insurance in America. Who among us doesn't have a member of their family or a friend with a pre-existing condition? There was a time, of course, that because of that, people were denied any coverage or charged exorbitant amounts of money. Overwhelmingly, we understand that if we're going to have a health insurance system that really serves the entire nation, we cannot allow health insurance companies to pick and choose. Prior to the Affordable Care Act's passage in 2010, health insurers used to charge people with pre-existing conditions higher monthly premiums or simply deny them coverage altogether. Health insurance companies used to impose annual and lifetime caps on what they could pay for. These arbitrary limits disproportionately hurt people with pre-existing conditions who often needed ongoing intensive medical care. And insurance companies, before the Affordable Care Act, used to refuse coverage of certain health care services that people needed with pre-existing conditions, prescription drugs, hospital visits, mental health and substance abuse treatment, maternity and newborn care. The Affordable Care Act changed all that. No more denials or higher premiums for pre-existing conditions. An amazing breakthrough. No more annual or lifetime caps on benefits. No more refusal to cover maternity benefits or doctor's visits. 10 years ago, every single Democrat, and I was one of them, voted in favor of the Affordable Care Act, and I'd do it again today. It was a law that ensured that these protections for people with pre-existing conditions really meant something and were enforceable. 10 years ago, every single Senate Republican voted against the Affordable Care Act. Since it's been signed into law, House and Senate Republicans have voted more than 100 times to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Their efforts have failed. The one most dramatic effort, which many of us can recall, just a couple years ago, right here in the well of the Senate, when Senator John McCain, Republican of Arizona, the late Senator John McCain, came to the floor in the middle of the night and cast a no vote. He believed, and I think he was right, I'm sure he was right, when he said, you just can't be against something, you have to be for something. The Republican side of the aisle has no alternative to the Affordable Care Act. They're just against it. They don't like it. They don't like the name of it. They don't like Obamacare. They don't like Obama's administration. They just vote no over and over again. Right now, there's a pending lawsuit that even would try to eliminate the entire Affordable Care Act, including the protection for people with pre-existing conditions. 18 Republican-led states, including the state of Texas, brought the suit after congressional Republicans eliminated the ACA's individual mandate. President Trump's Department of Justice supports this bill to eliminate the Affordable Care Act. If this lawsuit is successful, nearly 20 million Americans, 600,000 of them living in Illinois, could lose their health insurance. And nearly 133 million Americans with pre-existing conditions, 3 million in Illinois, could once again be at the risk of discrimination by health insurance companies. As if that weren't bad enough, President Trump has also proposed new rules that will allow states to discriminate against Americans with pre-existing conditions. This week, the Senate will be voting on a Congressional Review Act resolution to overturn the Trump administration's latest assault on Americans with pre-existing conditions. Senator Warner of Virginia has offered a resolution of disapproval. It's co-sponsored by every single Senate Democrat. If any senator on the Republican side really wants to help people with pre-existing conditions, join us. Make this a bipartisan effort to tell President Trump and his administration it's wrong. We should not discriminate against people with pre-existing conditions. And I hope that Senate Republicans will consider supporting a piece of legislation known as the MAMA Act, M-O-M-M-A. I'm co-sponsoring it, in fact, lead sponsor in the Senate. The House sponsor is Senator Congresswoman Robin Kelly of Illinois. It would ensure that all pregnant women get the care they need. Why is this important to raise in a modern country like America with our great natural and medical resources? Because the United States is one of only 13 countries in the world where maternal mortality rates are worse now than they were 25 years ago. I'm going to repeat that because it is an incredible statement, though true. The United States is one of only 13 countries in the world where maternal death rates are worse now than they were 25 years ago. Fortuitously, the presiding officer is a medical doctor. I know that he's devoted a good part of his professional career to serving people of low income, limited means. And you'd think when you hear that number about maternal mortality in the United States, well, it clearly must be associated with economic levels, income levels, wealth levels, education levels. Turns out it's not. Nationwide, more than 700 women die every year as a result of pregnancy, and more than 70,000 suffer near-fatal complications. More than 60% of the maternal deaths are preventable. Sadly, the tragedy of maternal mortality is even more pronounced when it comes to mothers of color. In the United States, women of color are 3 to 4 times more likely than white women to die as a result of their pregnancy. In Illinois, 6 times more likely than white women to die. And when I researched this, went to the University of Chicago, asked the OBGYNs there, look into the stats, look into the studies, tell me what's behind this. They said, Senator, there is no correlation between income or education attainment and this death rate among women. It is only a question of color. We're losing new moms, and sadly, we're losing babies as well. Every year, more than 23,000 infants die in the United States, largely due to factors that could be prevented. Black infants, twice as likely to die as white infants, a disparity that is greater than it was in the year 1850 in this country. That's why Representative Kelly, my colleague Senator Duckworth, and I introduced the MAMA Act. First and foremost, our bill would expand the length of time that a new mom can keep her Medicaid health coverage. Currently, Medicaid only has to cover women for 2 months postpartum after the baby's born. Our bill would expand that to a full year. Next, the MAMA Act would improve access to doulas, as well as improve implicit bias and cultural competency training among healthcare providers. Too often, black women are just not listened to or taken seriously by healthcare providers. Doulas can help provide education, advocacy, and support for women whose voices are being ignored. Lastly, our bill would improve hospital coordination and reporting on maternal health outcomes. Leader McConnell has made it clear that he has no intention of allowing the Senate to debate and pass legislation, instead rendering the Senate what has been characterized as a legislative graveyard. Senator McConnell says with pride he will be the Grim Reaper. His words, the Grim Reaper. Nothing will pass in the United States Senate. But I hope he'll make an exception for the MAMA Act, which is currently moving through the House of Representatives. Whether you're pro-choice or whether you're right to life, shouldn't we all stand together, Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, and say, let's do something to eliminate this unacceptable level of maternal mortality in the United States. Let's do something to save these babies. Let's agree on that part, if we can't agree on anything else. And so, Mr. President, I ask unanimous consent the Finance Committee be discharged from further consideration of S-916 and the Senate proceed to the immediate consideration that the bill be considered read a third time and passed and the motion to reconsider be considered made and laid upon the table with no intervening action or debate.